Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
All right, thank you so much for joining us back here on Defined by Moments, and go ahead and grab those Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to wrap up the last part of this chapter, but to do so, we need to kind of back up one verse and start there. So look at verse 8. It says, "The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked falls into it instead." Now, let's continue with verse 9. "With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered." So in verses 8 and 9, we see that, you know, knowledge has connotations, and those connotations kind of refer back to God and his will. So these two verses together really could imply that someone that is righteous, even going through times of slander, they respond the right way instead of reacting with wrong. So what we're going to focus on here as we wrap up this chapter is what I call the word. Now, we've already talked about the talk, but this is specifically going to really zero in onto aspects of where we give our word or where we're using our words, because that matters in the end. Verse 9, you know, if you look at this where it talks about the godless man, in the mouth of the godless man would destroy his neighbor. In some translations, that word godless has been rendered as hypocrite. So in other words, it's someone that references themselves to be wise, but through their words, they're showing themselves to be something absolutely different. But these individuals, they use their words to ruin others. And interestingly enough, when we talk about this aspect of a neighbor, in our world, we think of someone that lives next door, you know, in an apartment complex or in a subdivision. But really, the word is a much broader term that means associate, someone that you just come in contact with. So this is all encompassing. This is not as narrow as you can't go and try and ruin the person that lives next door to you. This is really talking about how you interact with anyone and everyone that comes into contact with you. And here we see, again, backing up to verse 8 as well as here in verse 9, but that the righteous, they are removed from conflict. Why? Because of their words. They are using skill and they're using truth in order to get away from those aspects. So that is wisdom. It's not just knowing, but it's also the application of that. Look at verse 10. "When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness." Now, the interesting part with this is that there's joy. It's joy when the righteous get what they deserve, but it's also joy when the unrighteous get what they deserve. So the end result that we see from this comes from the daily routine. The righteous, because of what is in their heart and in their minds, that wisdom, will make different decisions that lead to different outcomes. The flip side of that is also true. The unrighteous or the unwise, because of their lack of relation to wisdom, will make decisions that will also have specific outcomes. Look at verse 11. It says, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown." So you can see here what I would call a contrast between blessing and blasting. You know, our words and our motives matter. You know, the upright, the righteous, the wise will bring a blessing to a city because of what they think, because of what they say, and what they do. And the opposite is the exact same. A city or a nation is overthrown by the bad motives, by the bad actions, by the bad words of its leaders. You know, we need in this world better leadership. Why? Because it means that we need better hearts. And we can't translate a brand new heart. We can do that physically, but the one that matters, that spiritual heart that is affected by the truth of God, is something that we desperately need. And that is not what we can do on our own. It is through His grace and through His mercy. You know, this closing piece of this verse where you see that, you know, there is blasting that comes from the wicked, is very interesting as it translates right over into verse 12. "By the mouth of the wicked, that city is overthrown. And what does the mouth of the wicked also do? Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. That word belittles means to despise, to scorn. So it's not just something that you don't like them and you have that feeling internally, but you are physically acting upon that feeling. And the really neat part of this verse to me, that as I was breaking this, you know, into the different words, sense, you know, it means to break. You know, it's someone that is in need of. So when it says that they are lacking sense, they have broken what they desperately needed. But then it continues, the wise, what do? They remain silent. The root of this Hebrew word is actually an agrarian term. It references to cut or to plow. So think of a farmer that would be having a plow behind, you know, an animal that is literally turning up that ground. That's hard. But what this is picturing here is that if the righteous are remaining silent, then what they're not going to be doing is they're not going to be cutting up that ground. They're not going to be going after others. And what it shows is that they're by remaining silent, it shows that they have understanding. That understanding is the inner man. It's the will. It's the heart. In other words, I might want to strike back because I'm angry, but I know better. And that wisdom then affects the way that I think and I act. So instead of going out and cutting someone down, I'm choosing to remain silent. That's the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, the wise and the unwise. It goes back to a verse that we'll get into much, much later as we continue this series, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer, what does it do? It turns away wrath. But grievous words, words that are intending to cut and to harm, what do? They stir up. They kick up the dust of anger. Verse 13 really is a brilliant summary of everything that we've talked about so far. Because it goes on to say, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Slanderers can't be trusted. If people are talking to you, then I guarantee you they are talking about you to others. So you need to beware who you speak with in confidence. And one of the things that I have learned in, you know, from my professional career is that you may be meeting with someone and, you know, they'll look at you and go, hey, you know, this conversation is off the record. There really are no off the record conversations. So you have to be very careful what you say and to who you say it to. That's why this aspect of wisdom in the heart and righteousness in the life, it matters, because it shows that you're trustworthy, but it also shows that you know when to trust and when not to. Now, when we get here to verse 14, this is a verse that is often quoted multiple times, and some folks will look at this and go, why is this really here? Well, it fits this flow very well. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Now, when we see the word guidance there in Hebrew in verse 14, it's a rarely used term. It's used less than 10 times. I think it was 6. But it literally means a steering by ropes. So where there is no direction through the assistance of others, people will fall. But in an abundance of counselors, now the term here, it's a group with whom you can deliberate in order to resolve. So the aspect here, it's not just in verse 13, you need to be careful who you speak to. But in verse 14, you need to be careful who you bring into your life to speak into you. So as you're, you know, wherever you are, if you're in your car or if you're working out or if you're sitting at home, just look at your hand. Unless you have had an accident or were born with fewer than 5, you will have 5 digits on your hand. Think about the 5 people that are closest to you. It's called the power of 5. Those 5 individuals shape who you are. So you need to be very careful who you bring in to that inner circle. And that's what this is talking about. If you only have 1 person that you talk to, only one person that gives you advice, then the tendency is that that advice can be skewed and will cause some significant issues. But that's done through words. The way that you often guide others is you tell them how to go. Or if you're asking other people for their opinions, what are they doing? They're talking to you. So it all comes back to words. Then we get to verse 15. Your word should not be given without much thought. Look at verse 15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. But he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. Now, when we see the term striking hands, we often go immediately to a fight. That's not what's being referenced here. This, in essence, would be as if years ago we would seal a deal on buying a car and I would shake your hand. That handshake was my word. It was my commitment. So verse 15 is really going, hey, you need to be very careful who you pledge to support, because if someone takes advantage of that and you are their security, you're their down payment, their collateral, and then they don't come through, then you're stuck holding the bill. So all of this cycles back to our words. The words, I hate to use the phrase because it is so trite, but it's true. Words are windows to the soul. They show you whether you're wise or whether you're foolish. Now, as we're still in this section with a few more verses to go, something interesting happens. Solomon, in going through this list, then begins to provide us a series of contrasts to reinforce the points about the benefits of the righteous. Look at verses 16 and 17. It says, a gracious woman gets honor, and a violent man gets riches. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Now, let me tell you what this is not saying. This is not saying that the way to get riches is to be violent. Again, look at the first part of verse 16, the first part of verse 17. A gracious woman, honor. A man who's kind gets benefit. So grace and kindness will lead to benefit and honor. Look at the latter part of 16 and 17. By contrast, the violent man gets riches. Oh, well, that doesn't seem too bad. But then verse 17, that cruel man, that violent man, hurts himself. It may appear that those individuals are getting away with their wrong, but the judgment day is coming. So we see the contrast between righteousness and wisdom and unrighteousness and foolishness. We've seen this all throughout Proverbs, and we're going to continue to see it as we move through. But look at verse 18 and 19. It says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. So the wicked, they earn wages, but it's not what they thought they were going to get. And the wicked that are pursuing evil, what are they going to really get? It's not that promise of satisfaction. It, in fact, is emptiness and death. And the flip side, again, you sow righteousness, there is a sure reward in life that is coming. And then finally, in verses 20 and 21, this really sums up the entire section well. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. The summary here is that the heart, your relation to wisdom, is shown by your lips as well as by your life. And the way that this is structured, the crooked heart is an abomination to the Lord. It's hated by the Lord. But the blameless are his delight. Whose delight? It goes back. It's to the Lord's delight. So one thing the Lord hates, one thing the Lord delights. Then the shift into the next verse. Be assured that an evil person will not go unpunished. The structure here places the emphasis of that assurance is on the one who has the delight in the prior verse. So this is really pointing out that the Lord is the one that is going to make sure that the evil are properly dealt with. But look at this last phrase. The offspring of the righteous will be delivered. How do the generations of the righteous go unpunished? How do these subsequent followers, descendants of a righteous and a wise person, How do they reap the benefit of that wisdom? Because they are taught by the words of the wise. So all of this comes together in this conclusion with a focus back on the words. So ultimately, if we were really going to break this down, we would look at a couple of things. Number one, your words show your relation to wisdom, and your relation to wisdom determines the way. Let me say that again. Your words show your relation to wisdom, and your wisdom determines your way. If it's just knowledge, knowledge is not beneficial. The more reliable a person is, the more rightly related they are to wisdom. Because they've learned, they've listened, and now they're living. The second thing that I would say here that we could really walk away from is that the end result of every routine is the reaping of your reward. Let me say that again. The end result of every routine is the reaping of your reward. If you're trying to plant grass and it's filled with weeds, I recently went through this in my home. You know, I had tried to plant grass, but the weeds that were there would never really let that grass seed get to the ground and sprout. So I became what I called a surgical killer. I targeted certain spots of the yard, got rid of the weeds. Sometimes I harmed the grass that was around it. But once I had done that, I didn't then go out and throw seed. I dethatched. I took an old-fashioned bow rake that's probably older than I am, and I tore that ground up. I got, you know, so many different bucketfuls of dead grass that I threw away that exposed that dirt so that the seed could plant, and when watered, it would grow. It was the routine that led to the reward. If I didn't do anything, then the yard would only continue to be filled with weeds. So my challenge to you in this episode is very simple. Your words matter. And your words show your relation to wisdom. And then your wisdom, it's what determines your way. So step back. Reflect upon your life. Consider your heart. Are you rightly related to wisdom? Because if you are, we'll see it in your words. And we'll see it as you walk the way. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.